Welcome to the Intuitive Eating and Body Positivity Podcast. I'm Terry and I'll be talking about all things intuitive eating, body positivity and health at every size, and shaking off weight stigma, diet culture and food rules so that we can all have a better relationship with food and our bodies. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Anybody remember that? Remember that from, I don't even know what show it was when we were little. I say we, because obviously you're the same age as me, right? What was it? I don't even know, but it used to start with, are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. I like that. And today I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not going to read you a book, but what I am going to tell you about is my little trip out for some food last week. So I thought this would make a nice anecdotal example for you. A real lived experience, some might say. Before I do that, though, let me tell you about a girl I saw in a shop. When I went shopping last week, Home Bargains. Home Bargains and B&M, because they're right next to each other in our city. And I love a Home Bargains trip. I love a B&M trip. It's the best thing ever. Those shops are just full of the most random stuff. And you can get anything and everything. So I like just going and having a mutch around and having a look. Anyway, needed some dry shampoo and stuff. Boring. You didn't come here for that, did you? But in the aisle with all the hair stuff, was this family, obviously picking up some bits and pieces too. And there were clearly three generations. So there was a girl, I'd say she was, age 8 to 10. 10? Oh, I don't know, I'm rubbish at guessing ages. Let's go with 10, right? She was young. And they must have been talking about face masks and things. Because this girl says to her nan, "Nan, if you want, you can have one of my face masks when we get back. You can put one of my face masks on." And her nan, with this really steely look on her face, says, "Is my skin that bad, is it? Do you think I need one?" Just like that. And I kind of looked at her. I was like, oh, poor girl. Poor girl. And at that point, she says, "Nan, I was only trying to do something nice for you. I'm sorry." I was like, oh, bless her heart. This young girl had not thought anything of her nan's face. All she wanted to do was give her something nice and give her this nice treat. And her nan is like, is that what you think of my face? And she didn't even smile. She didn't laugh. She didn't then go, "Oh, I know, darling, that was really nice. Thank you for the offer." Nothing. That was all she got from her. And I was like, you poor girl. Poor, poor girl. I felt really sorry for her. I felt like going over and saying, "I know you were doing something nice, love. I know." Can't really do that, can you, with other people's kids, though? But I thought, how sad is that? But a perfect example, isn't it? This young girl gave no consideration to the actual aesthetics of her nan's face. She just wanted to do something nice. She thought a face mask would make a nice treat for her. Whereas her nan's response was automatically, "Do I look that bad?" And she clearly meant it, because she didn't laugh. She didn't smile. She didn't carry on the conversation. She just kind of turned away from her. I was like, oh, ugh, awful. There we go. Anyway, back to the story. Last weekend, I went out with some friends. We went to an all-you-can-eat buffet. And we went as the group of us, a group of girls, the girls from pool. And we went and we were going out for somebody's food. No, for somebody's food, for somebody's birthday. Oh my goodness, I'm so tired today. Sorry. This is how this episode's going to go, isn't it? So we went out for one of the girls' birthdays. And we'd heard good things about this buffet. Somebody else had been there, said it was amazing. So off we went. And, oh God, it was so good. It was so, so good. Loads of different dishes, loads of it kept coming out, so nothing ever ran empty. Really nice options. So there was kind of Thai, Chinese, Indian, and is there anything else? Oh, and then there was kind of what my friend called Bayesian buffet, because that's what she had. She said, I'm just having Bayesian buffet. And that was things like nuggets, chips, samosas, spring rolls, which do, I guess, technically fit in with the other things, but is all the beige stuff that isn't spicy. It's not anything kind of out there. It's not testing your palate in any way. She just wanted beige and buffet. So she had rice and chips and some chicken pieces like goujons and things like that. And bread. And yeah, it was a whole load of beige on a plate, which is fine. Whatever she wants. So I was like, right, what do I want? Now, I know what my capabilities are at an all-you-can-eat buffet. I know I can manage two really decent-sized plates of food, and then I'm done. So some of the girls were going up and having a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of the other, and coming back. And I don't know if anybody went more than twice, actually. But on the whole, it was kind of, the first plate was tasters, and then they went back for more of what they liked. I knew pretty much what I would like and what I would not like. Like, I know I'm not going to like the spicy stuff. So I went, and I did a slightly different approach. I went Thai, Chinese, that sort of thing on the first visit. And then the second visit, I did Indian. So my first visit, what did I have? I had a... what did I have? I don't really know. I don't know. I just had bits and pieces of everything. So I had a sticky chicken. Oh, I love sticky chicken. I had some kind of chicken in a red sauce. It was very, very red. It was not sweet and sour. I don't know what it was. I wish I knew, because it was bloody lovely and I would like to make it or buy it again. What else did I have? I had some Thai green curry. And then I had some rice, some really nice jasmine rice. I had some chips. I had some bread. Did I have anything else on that first plate? Possibly, but I can't remember what it was. So at that, enjoyed that, loved it. Didn't pick up anything I didn't like. Then the really good thing about these places is they come and they take your plates, and then you just go back for more with a fresh plate. So came, cleared the table, we sat there for a minute, had a bit of a natter, went back. This time I went for the Indian. So again, I'm not into spicy stuff. So I had a buttermilk chicken, some kind of tandoori chicken, some kind of other chicken. Can you tell I'm a big chicken fan? I don't like to eat beef and things, and I don't like lamb, but I don't like eating beef when I go out for meals, because I can never guarantee that it's going to be cooked the way I like it. So I always go with a chicken, and I like chicken more than any other meat. So what did I say? Buttermilk chicken, tandoori chicken. There was something else. Something else. Some pilau rice, a few more chips, prawn crackers. Oh, first plate, I had some spring rolls too. Yes, I love a spring roll. So another sizable plate of food on my second visit. That came back to the table with me, finished most of it. Not all of it, but by the time I got to the end, I was like, oh, I am so full. You know what though? It's always room for ice cream, right? I really like, after a really heavy savoury meal, to have something sweet. And I think I've told you, I have ice cream most evenings. So we've always got ice creams in the freezer. We've always got something like that. And I always have something like that just because I really like it. I really, really like it. It's not a habit for me. It's not one of those things where I get to a certain time of night and I think, oh, I really need something to eat now. It's not like that for me. I just really like to have ice cream. So I was like, oh, they've got an ice cream machine. And they had a range of desserts and things, but they have this ice cream machine. And it meant that it came out like a whippy ice cream. So I had some ice cream after. And that finished me right off. And I kind of waddled back to the car. And I was really satisfied with my meal. I'd had a really nice evening out. I'd had a nice few, you know, nice few hours with the girls. We'd had a chat, we'd had a laugh, we'd had a catch up. A couple of them we hadn't seen for a little while, so that was nice. I'd had a lot of food, I'd got my money's worth, that's for sure. And then I was going home. And it was a reasonable time of the evening, so I was going home to put my pyjamas on and slob out on the sofa. No extra ice cream required. Now, that was past comfortably full. So you may be now thinking, that was far too much food. Knowingly, I went in there and I ate far too much food for my comfort level. So the question is, should I have stopped? Should I have listened to my fullness and stopped? Well, I did eventually. I did leave some food on my second plate because I was like, no, this is too much now. And at that point, I was, you know, when you get to the point and you're like, I'm going to have to take some deep breaths between my mouthfuls of food. I wasn't so desperately uncomfortably full that it was, full that I was hungry. I wasn't so desperately full that I was in pain, but I was very, very full. I was very full. I was going home to put my pajamas on and sit on the sofa. That kind of fullness. So did I stop at the right point? Who knows? I think for me, yes, I did, because I had made the most of this evening and I had decided that I wanted to try lots of these foods. I wanted a bit of all of these different types of foods. So did I eat intuitively? I think I did, because I only selected the foods that I really wanted. And also, let me start this by saying, I hadn't gone in there starving, hungry either. I was not hungry. I was hungry, but I wasn't starving. So it wasn't like I went for this uncontrolled have to eat everything because I'm so hungry. I chose my dishes based on the food that I really wanted. It was stuff that I don't ever really get to eat because my husband and I don't go to these places. He can't have soy, and lots of Chinese and Thai restaurants will put soy in a lot of stuff, and you can't avoid. It's really, really hard to avoid when you're eating out in that sort of place. So we don't go to places like that. So I wanted to make the most of it. I wanted to have all these dishes that I don't usually get to eat. And then I'd had the Thai stuff and I did want the Indian stuff. I really love buttermilk chicken. I really, really loved the tandoori chicken. I was intuitive in that I just had a couple of chips the second time around, and not so much rice, because I was like, well, I really want to eat these dishes, but I am getting full, so I don't need to have lots of this stuff. I will just have a little bit of rice and literally a couple of chips because, well, I feel like they help to mop up the rest of the food, don't they? So the second visit, I had intuitively put less food on the plate. I had chosen selectively the dishes that I wanted, and I'd done that the whole way through. I had not gone mad for the bread and stuff, which in dieting days I absolutely would have done. Things like the naan breads and things, I'd have had loads of that. I didn't. I had one piece. So did I eat intuitively in that respect? Yeah, I think I actually did. I may not have eaten intuitively hunger and fullness wise, but I ate intuitively satisfaction wise. And that's where being an intuitive eater is more than just hunger and fullness. You know, you get coaches that are all about the mindfulness with the eating. I love that. I love mindfulness in eating. But a lot of these coaches will also say, eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full. And in a situation like that, that's not intuitive. That's not intuitive eating. That's not you eating to everything that's incorporated in intuitive eating. I did kind of pay attention to my hunger and fullness levels, but more importantly in that situation was my satisfaction levels. And if I hadn't had all of that stuff, I might have left there feeling like I'd missed out, like I didn't have my money's worth, like everybody else had eaten something that I hadn't, that sort of thing. So in that situation, it's absolutely better to go for that approach. I was still able to stop. I was still able to go home very full, yes, but not in pain. And if you know about the hunger scale and the fullness scales in intuitive eating, you'll know that, I'll talk about those another day, but you'll know that there's a point in time where you really have to pay attention and not verge into eating into pain. So I did that. So yeah, I think I did go out and eat intuitively. I think I did. The ice cream, did I need it? No. Did I want it? Yes. Because if I hadn't have had the ice cream, then I would have been left with this thing that I always have, where I have this hankering after something sweet. And I'd have spent the rest of the night feeling like that. So was I eating intuitively when I chose to have the ice cream after? Absolutely. Now, back in diet days, I would have definitely felt judged by others for this. I would have felt like everybody was watching, like everybody was paying attention to what I had on my plate. I would have thought that people were really judging and criticizing what I was having, whether that was internally or whether that was to each other after. I'd have had these thoughts about people thinking about what I had eaten. But in my intuitive eating space, I don't care about that. I don't really care what other people think about what I'm choosing to eat. I didn't criticize their food. I don't sit there and judge what they have. And actually, in that situation, do you know, that's what you're there for. You're there to experience all the food. You're there to try some of everything. That's the whole point of these big all-you-can-eat buffets, right? So did I think other people were judging me? Nope. Did I think that I was judging other people around the table for what they ate? Nope. Actually, we did this really nice, almost sharing thing. I mean, I'm very much like Joey. I don't share food. I'm very much like Smithy and Gavin and Stacey. I am not ordering a Chinese takeaway and then we're putting it all in the middle of the table and helping ourselves. No. If I'm ordering a takeaway, I will eat what I want. But in this kind of circumstances, in this kind of situation, we were like, oh, did you try this? Did you have that? No, well, have a little bit of my chicken, see if you like it. And then when you go back, you can have some of, you know, you can get some of your own. And that was lovely. So we were, yes, we were commenting on what everybody was eating, but in an inquisitive, what have you got there kind of a way? How is it? Is it nice? I mean, the one girl, she said she had this booner and it blew her head off. I was like, thank God you tried it because that's not what I'm going for now. And then one of the types of chicken, I had some of because I tried a bit of somebody else's chicken. So, God, we really should make the most of these situations and make them a really pleasant experience. There are lots of studies out there on social eating and how it impacts your eating. And yes, it has been shown that when you eat socially, you do tend to eat more food. But is that a bad thing? No. If you're in a social circle, you're enjoying the company, you're enjoying the food, maybe you're doing what we were doing and talking about what's on each other's plates, that's all good. It's all part of the eating experience, right? And the day after, what happened the day after Because, you know, in dieting land, what happens is the day after you feel bad, right? You feel bad and you beat yourself up. You do extra exercise. You eat less to try and make up for it. Or it goes the complete opposite. And you think, right, I've blown my week now. So I'm just going to keep going. It doesn't matter now. To hell with it. I've done it. But the next day was the next day because I went out. I had a really good experience. I had some really good food. I really enjoyed it. And I was grateful for that. So the day after, I got up and it was business as usual. I didn't even think about it, other than to tell Owen how much I'd enjoyed it. I didn't really think about it. Really didn't. And that's the way it should be. The day after should not be a time where you consider how you're going to make up for what you've eaten the day before. So, the question, should you eat past fullness? Should you eat until you're uncomfortably full? Is that a bad thing? It really depends on the situation. In a situation like this, no, it is absolutely not a bad thing at all. It's all part of the experience. It's all part of learning how to be an intuitive eater. I mean, sometimes it's a good experiment to see how you feel with quantities of food. I mean, for me, I don't go out and eat vast plates of food like this anymore. So it was quite interesting for me to see how much I could eat in a sitting. You just have to see these things as experiments and experiences and good times and good food. If, however, you're in a binge cycle and you are eating secretly, maybe you are raiding the cupboards and you just keep going and you just keep going and you just keep going, and then you are uncomfortably full, then that's a different situation. And then you have to decide what you're going to do about that. You're going to have to decide whether you want to look into these behaviors, whether you want to look into your thought patterns, whether you want to address them, whether you want to do things to help you get out of those patterns. But on the whole, you just have to say that eating past comfortably full depends on the situation. If you're just sat eating evening meal with the family, that's a very standard everyday thing, right? If you're having this wonderful big roast dinner, for example, I love a big roast dinner, you know, where there's all this different veg, potatoes, stuffing, Yorkshire puddings, gravy, all of this stuff. And if it's a pile your plate high or a help yourself kind of a situation, and you're enjoying it, it's the same thing. It's okay to eat past being comfortably full because you're getting satisfaction, you're getting the experience out of it. As long as you don't eat to the point of pain, obviously, that's not a good thing. If you're eating an evening meal and you're thinking, I'm full, I'm really full, but I'm so enjoying it, and to stop would make you feel like you'd restricted, then it's absolutely the right thing to keep going. It's right to eat until you're satisfied. So it really does depend on the situation. It depends on why you're eating. It depends what you're eating. It depends what the experience is like. But ultimately, it's your choice. At any point in time, you can check in, right? At any point in time, you can check in with how your body feels, how your food is satisfying you now. You can evaluate it after. If you're in a social circle like we were last week, then I'm not going to take time out of that conversation to sit there and go, what am I thinking now? But for me, because I'm well practiced, I was starting to recognize the signals that were like, that's enough now. You need to stop eating now. But as a practicing intuitive eater, if you're new to it, for example, you're not going to take yourself out of the conversation to say, what am I eating? Is it satisfying me? How full do I feel? Because you're going to be swept up with the social aspect of it. But what you can do is evaluate it after. How much did I eat? Did I enjoy it? Was I satisfied at the end? It's all what ifs. There's no easy yes or no to that question. It's your choice, right? And it's always your choice with food. It's always your choice. And that's the way you have to think about it. So I hope you liked my little story this week. I thought I'd do something a little bit different because I don't usually base my episodes on full-on stories of what's happened in the week. I do tell you about things, obviously, but I don't tend to do this and base everything on my experience in a situation. But I hope that was helpful. Sometimes it's nice to hear what other people have done in situations, isn't it? And that is that for today. Got some really great guests coming on, so stay tuned, people. I have, do you want a little sneaky peek? I have got somebody coming on to talk about limiting beliefs and the stories we tell ourselves, and a bit about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and how you can change your thoughts and patterns around how you see yourself and things like that. I have got someone coming on to talk about human design. That's exciting, right? Human design and how you can use your own human design to determine your eating habits and things like that. And this is awesome. I have got in the diary an episode scheduled with a ex-Slimming World consultant. You're looking forward to that one, aren't you? Yeah, stay tuned because there's some really good guest episodes coming up. I am going to still talk to you every couple of weeks like I do now, but I'm gonna chuck a load more guests in there, and I'm going to bring in people that can give you different expert advice, different expert opinions on things. Can only enrich your knowledge, right? Right. Going to love you and leave you. Take care of yourself, and I will speak to you again next week.